on, church, let's do this one more time. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Say, we'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. We'll praise your name forever. Christ. Today, we're blessed with Brother Jack Ernest. Yeah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. You know, it's been a year or so since he's been here. He and I was talking last night. I shared with him some things about what I've been dealing with as far as greeting people and just saying hello. And I ran around with him at a particular point years ago, and every veteran he saw, he thanked them, and he's a veteran himself. And that rubbed off on me, and from that point on, I've been practicing that. Oh, yeah. And amen, little brother. I was in McDonald's a couple of weeks ago, and I'd ordered, and I turned around, and this guy was behind me. He had a veteran's cap on. So I walked up to him, and I stuck my hand out, and I thanked him. And I made a comment. I said, what you did enabled people like me to be free here. And he looked at me. Never seen this man in my life. And he just stepped up and grabbed me and hugged me. And he just started bawling. He just broke down right there. And he said, no, thank you. He said, because you don't know what I went through. And that right there is awesome, guys. I mean, you know, you got these young kids, 18, 19, laying their life down so we can do what we do. And then the bad part about it, some of us won't even take time pick a Bible up and thank God that we're this way. We can worship freely. We don't have to hide our words. Amen? We can come in here and get our praise on and say hallelujah to God without being in fear of somebody coming in here and shooting us after we do it. So yeah, it feels good to thank a veteran. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But anyway, Jack's here and know it's going to be some fun in here today. Amen? Because we serve a good God. I don't thank God. I know he wants me to have fun because I'm going to do it everywhere I go. That's right. I try to give away cookers to people that don't want them. That's an inside thing, so y'all don't understand that one. But anyway, God's been good to me, and I know he has y'all. I know Jim Hadley ate too much turkey this couple of days past. I can tell that by looking. See my buddy Ronnie's in the house today. You know, Ronnie, we miss y'all guys, man. Amen. We miss you guys. That's exactly right. I don't get to pick on him enough as it is. But God's good, amen. You know, I'll say this and then we'll continue on. Since I've been attending church here, this place has sent more people out to carry the word. And they're doing well with it. And so I commend God for putting people in a position to be under such teaching. Amen. Oh, that's awesome. We have an awesome pastor here. He's one of the best teachers I've ever encountered. And I've listened to people on TV and read a lot of books, and Dad is as equal to them as anybody I've ever dealt with. Amen. So it's a good thing. Amen. Let's go, guys. Thank you. this day, we're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, a waking desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now, Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Last night, Dad come over to the house, and he sat with us for quite a while last night. And of course, he had to wear that old UK cap in my house, and I just... Some things prayer can't fix, you know what? No, I'll take that back. But anyway, it's... tough man, and his wife has the faith. She has enough faith for all of us.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you that, and then some. And it's awesome to see that. He sat there last night, and I guess it was couple hours maybe longer than that. He ate and we talked about things. And not long ago, we didn't know if Dad was going to make it. And then a little further back, he coded, left here. Then a little further back, he had that issue. And then a little before that, he had another issue. And it's been happening to him ever since he's 15 years of age. But yet and still, I have the nerve to complain about something. Oh, well, I'm just being real. Just being real. I guess what I'm trying to say is God's bigger than any problem we may have.
That's right. Amen.
And yet and still, with all the problems Dad had, he didn't have to send his son here to die for us. Oh, wow. Imagine that. Could we do that? Could you send your son to die for somebody that has no clue who you are? Ever think about that? I did. I thought about that one day. Could I put Matthew on a cross to save everybody and they not appreciate him? Or when that happened, before he got to the cross, all the vile things that was done to him. Tell me that would not be hard to do. Tell me our flesh would not want to allow that to be done. I can see the waters raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sounds of nations rising up.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome.
I can walk down this dark and painful road. I can face every fear of the unknown. I can hear all God's children singing out.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same that commands the dead to wait, lives in us, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us, lives in us.
Tomorrow, but right now we have an opportunity to sow into Christ, amen. And Lord God, I just thank you for the givers here, Lord God. I thank you for everyone, Lord God, that participates in this church to keep it clean, Lord God, and to do what's necessary to keep these doors open, Lord God. I just thank you for that in Jesus' name, and amen. And also, guys, I'll go on and put this in here. We want to bless Brother Jack for being with us today. At the end of the service, we're going to leave an offering bucket on the back table back there. So anybody that wants to give Uncle Jack and bless him for being here with us one more time can do so. Like I said, it'll be at the end of the service on the back table back there. Amen. We have hope that his promises are true. There is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store.
We will not be overtaken. We will not be
Oh, hallelujah. When we was learning that song, we was in practice here, and it came to the bridge. And I don't know, the bridge just grabs me. I like the way that's worded. Greater is He that is living in me. Amen. Yeah, He's conquered our enemies. Oh, that's awesome. That is an awesome thing. You know, we as people have so... Sometimes it's hard to teach people that if they have just a little bit of faith, it don't take much. It just takes a little bit of faith. A mustard seed is not very big at all. That much faith. All God asked us to have, as all Jesus wanted us to have, is a mustard seed of faith. No matter what we're going through, you got to have faith. We're going to get through it. That's the key thing. Not stay in it, get through it. Amen. Say, we have hope that His promises are true and His strength. There is nothing we can't do. Yes, we know there are greater things in store. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. One more time, sir. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same power that commands the dead to wake. About that, I'm excited about that, because I know that with that I am good to go. Amen? Amen. I know God's got my back. I know that the good Lord came here, He humbled and died for a little old soul like me, and it's a good thing, because I was a lost. You know what? I don't have the words to that. Imagine that. We're gonna do it anyway. Hey, look right there and give them right in the front. Here you go, honey. Thank you, babe. Good old tune. Come on. Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Tell everyone how great the love. The love come down from heaven's gate. To kiss the earth with hope and grace. Sing.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Glory, the Lord, strong and mighty.
I like this. Lift up your hands, be lifted up. Let the redeemed declare the love. And we bow down at heaven's gate to kiss the feet of hope and grace. Something up, it destroys it. Amen. Good enough for me. Amen. They can keep their evolution. I'm not going to say things change, but I think the good Lord created all this to begin with. Amen. Matter of fact, I know he did. Hallelujah. Well, without me going any further, I would like to introduce to you a fella that's dear to me. You know what? Hold on. I'm jumping the gun here. We've got communion today. I'm sorry. I'll introduce him just a little bit. But anyway, Brother Bob,
this morning, before we do communion, I want to read from the book of Isaiah, the end of chapter 52 and some in chapter 53, so that you can think about this a minute, why we celebrate communion, what communion's all about. This is the end of chapter 52, verse 14, talking about Jesus hanging on the cross. It says, many were amazed when they saw Jesus, beaten and bloodied, so disfigured, one would scarcely know he was a person. We're going to skip down to chapter 53. Start with verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. And there are people that still do that today. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet, it was our sicknesses he carried. It was our diseases that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God for his own sins. But he was wounded and crushed for our sins. He was beaten that we might have peace. He was whipped and we were healed. Now I'm going to read a sentence that sort of may startle some people. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him by disease and fill him with grief. It was the Lord's good plan to crush Jesus by disease and fill him with grief. Why did it please the Lord to crush Jesus by disease? He knew the outcome. He knew. We've been singing it this morning. Very powerful. He was going to take all that belonged to us, all our sins and all our diseases, and put it on Jesus. He was crushed for our sins, our diseases. And the Lord was pleased because he knew he was going to get a family out of it. So this morning, before we take communion, I want to read a little bit. Now, you can just sort of think there and think in your mind and in your heart. We're getting ready to take communion. And I will sort of, all as a body, just sort of pray this, just think this. It says, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we recognize that we have a covenant with you, sealed by the blood of Jesus. A covenant that was ratified by the shed blood of Jesus at Calvary because of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for us, that his blood was shed in our behalf. We acknowledge that Jesus bore sin, sickness, disease, sorrow, grief, fear, torment, unforgiveness, strife, and lack for us. Through his substitutionary sacrifice, we have complete redemption, total deliverance from the works of Satan. As new creations in Christ Jesus, and we are, if you've made Jesus your Lord, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We realize our freedom has been bought and paid for. You know, now this means no disrespect to the Lord Jesus, but you might say he was our first veteran. We are redeemed, we are forgiven, and we give thanks for it all in Jesus' name. And we're going to judge ourselves and examine ourselves in the light of God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we examine our hearts this morning. We judge ourselves according to the authority of your word. In areas where we have missed the mark, strife, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, hatred, covetousness, fear, worry, unbelief, etc. We take Jesus as our advocate and high priest. And we ask forgiveness according to the word of God. 1 John 1:9. Your word says that you're faithful and you're just to forgive us when we confess our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, we do not eat of this bread nor drink of this cup unworthily, but we rightly discern the Lord's body. We receive communion together now as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are free from the works of Satan, spirit, soul, and body. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Grant. And if everybody has the bread now, we will take the bread and eat. Remember, this was broken for us. And we receive all that Jesus' redemption bought for us. In Jesus' name. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament, the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." And now we'll take the cup. The blood of Jesus is pure and holy and seals the covenant of which we are partakers. Now, if you will, if you want to, and you're close to somebody, just join hands and we'll make this confession. Father, we give you thanks for all you have provided for us in Christ Jesus. We confess this day we are the blessed of the Lord. This covenant we entered into at the new birth is a covenant filled with the exceeding great and precious promises of God. And we are partakers of those promises now. We are healed. We are redeemed. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. We are translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are the head and not the tail. We are above only and not beneath. We come behind in no good thing. All that we set our hands to prospers. And we praise you, Father, for the newness of life we now enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Classes can be dismissed, rather. Oh, hallelujah. And with that being done, now I can introduce my brother, Jack Ernest. Amen? Hallelujah. Come on up, brother. Thank you.
We on? Yes, we are. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Wow, it's been 2 years at least since we had the blessing to be here with y'all. And I mean that, blessed. We're blessed to be here. And I'm blessed to be in church with my daughter, Cindy. We don't get to go to church very often because we live so far away from each other, but we're blessed. I have a message from your pastor. He told me this morning as he was eating his cereal. He said that he is more than a conqueror. On the road back, and the devil has not won, nor will he win. And he quoted General Douglas MacArthur. And Douglas MacArthur said, I will return.
Right.
And he did so. Yeah. And so your pastor says he will return also. Amen. So, Pastor Jerry, I know you're watching this at home, so I did it. And he also told me to behave. So I'm going to do my best. Praise the Lord. You know, when I know I'm going to be preaching, I always pray, of course, which we all should. And I pray and seek the Lord as to what he would have me to bring to the place that I'm going to be speaking at, and most importantly, is to the people, the message that God wants us to hear for this particular day, this particular hour. And so I did that. And as I was praying in my office, probably over a month ago, as I was praying for this particular message, and I happened to look over on my desk, and I was surprised to be able to find anything because it's so cluttered. And I happened to look over there, Cole, and I saw a piece of paper amongst all the other papers. And on that paper, it was written, don't you care if we drown? What's that got to do with anything? And I'm thinking, so I laid it back down, and I'm continuing to pray, and I'm looking through some different study materials. And it was as if the Lord said, go back and pick up that piece of paper. You need to read that. I already did. Pick it up and read it again. So I picked up that little piece of paper, and I must have written that down at some point in some time. So I picked it up again, and I read it. Don't you care if we drown? I said, okay, Lord, we'll pray about this. So as I read it again, I began to ponder. I felt that the Lord wanted me to let him guide me into a message. And so this is what he gave me. Don't you care if we drown? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity. As our brother Ricardo has already said, we're thankful, Lord, to still live in a country where we're free to be able to come together in your house and to praise you and to worship you and to hear your word. And we ask, Lord God, that you would anoint me as your servant this morning. Touch my lips and put your words in my mouth that I might speak forth the message that you have given for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't you care if we drown? I love it when this happens. It's so awesome when you can pray and get along with God and then he begins to speak to you. And he does. He wants to, and he can, and he will continue to do that. And as always, he begins to give me something, scripture passages that begin to flow concerning the subject matter. And now he wants to speak to us about his caring for us. He wants me to speak to us today about his caring for you, for me, our families. But I want to ask you a question, and I want us to be truthful today. As Cindy and I were driving up here this morning, I was talking to her about us being truthful, us being honest, And so oftentimes we don't do that. We, how you doing today, brother? Oh, I'm just fine. How's things going? Just fine. Well, I ran up here and scared Cole this morning because I'm so glad to see him. And I said, Cole, how's it going? He said, I'm fine. The Lord and I are fine. But some other things aren't. Now, he could have just said, oh, everything's good, Brother Jack. I'm fine. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everything's going wonderfully. But at least he was honest. And he said, not everything is good. Not everything's going as I would like it to be going. You know what? And I appreciate his honesty. Because when we're honest and he shared that with me, now I know how to pray more effectively for him and for the situation that he's going through. But so oftentimes we're just not honest. And so I want to ask a question. He's caring for us. But does he really? Does God really care about us? Is he really concerned about what we're going through, about what we're dealing with, about what we're fighting? Does God really care? Does God really care? And I know that all of us in here, if we're honest, I'm going to say at least the majority of us in here have said that, or at least thought that at one point in time in our life. Does he really care? I'm in a situation. I'm in something that I don't even know how I got in it. I don't know how I got to this point. And then I'm crying out to God. I'm praying to God. I'm believing God as we're taught. But does he really care? Like, where is he? I know what the Word of God says. We sang it. We heard it this morning. That he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. He's always there. La, 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 la. But where is he? Does he really care? A while back, I was asked by an old friend to come and visit him. This friend, who had been blind in one eye, recently lost his eyesight in his good eye, and he's now totally blind. A great man of God, a wonderful man of God, a wonderful Christian family. And at some years back, he lost the sight in one of his eyes. He wasn't born blind, but he lost the sight in one of his eyes. And then not too long ago, a freak thing happened. Something busted in his eye, and he's totally blind. There's absolutely no way to turn it around, to fix it. He's totally blind. So he called me on the phone. I could tell in his voice he really needed to talk with me. So I told him I would come the very next day. I made a commitment. And listen, when you make a commitment to somebody, keep it. Amen. Don't just say, hey, if you need me, call me. Don't say, hey, if you're in the area, just stop by. Coffee's always hot. If you make a commitment to somebody, especially a brother or sister in the Lord, keep it. Be a man or a woman of your word. Amen? Because we're all hurting. We're all trying to deal with something. And I'm telling you, a friend can change things in a person's life. A friend can stop somebody from committing suicide. A friend. Amen? A friend. So let's be that. Just like Ricardo was talking about this morning, about going out and talking with people and just being there. And Laverne and I were sharing this morning about how what her and Pastor Jerry are going through. But even in the midst of that, when Laverne is in the hospital and she's got her husband in there, sometimes not sure if he's going to come out or not, But yet when she goes down to the coffee shop or the cafeteria and she sees someone crying, sitting alone, she goes over to that person and begins to minister to her, even though she herself needs ministered to. So my friend and I went and we sat down, and sometimes we just need to be a good listener. So don't you care if we drown? Mark 4, 35 through 38. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. How many times, and Cindy's pastor in Columbus preached a message about suddenly, how oftentimes things just suddenly break loose or show up or break out or erupt suddenly. And Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care if we drown? Look at where we are. This is serious, Jesus, and you're sleeping. Don't you care about us? Don't you care if we drown? The water's coming in, my feet are wet, and you're sleeping? Don't you care, Jesus? Have you ever felt this way in your life? Have you ever felt that you were about to go under? I have. I have many times. This is it. So where is this Jesus who has said that he would never leave me nor forsake me? Hey, Lord, it's getting wet in here. I'm like really getting concerned here, and I'm not that good of a swimmer. My friend began to talk, and I could sense right away there was something wrong. Now, this is a big man. He'd been a Marine, fought in Korea. A very educated man, owned a business. So he began to talk, and I could sense right away there was something wrong. The Lord began to reveal to me why I was called here to his house. We may be blind, but tears can still flow. We may be blind, but tears can still flow. Emotions can still engage, and fear is still around us. Amen? I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm telling you. I've been in the ministry over 40 years. I've traveled all over this world. I've seen a lot, done a lot. And no matter how strong you are, no matter how educated you are as a Christian and in the Word of God, listen, things still happen. Things still happen. There will always be storms. And you can quote me. There will always be storms in life. There will always be challenges to face, and fear will always be there to knock on your door. The disciples loved and trusted Jesus. They were willing to get into the boat with him, and they did. I underlined it, and they did, because there's going to be times when Jesus is going to call on you to do something out of the norm of your life. There's going to be times when the Lord is going to call you to go here, and it's going to seem like that you're being asked to get in a boat and go out in a raging sea. But listen, when Jesus is the captain, And the Bible says that Jesus is the captain of our salvation. He knows about boats. Storms can come up quickly and unexpectedly. We are sailing along in life, and things are going great, and out of nowhere comes this terrible storm, a suddenly moment. Where in the heck did that come from? I don't deserve this. What did I do wrong? Why is this happening to me? Just because Jesus is in our boat doesn't mean there won't be storms. Just because Jesus lives in you, just because the Holy Spirit lives in you, just because you come to church, just because you pay your tithes, just because you do this and do that, does not mean you will not have storms in your life. I have not promised you a rose garden. We will have trials and tribulations. You can count on it. But the important thing is, how will you handle the storm? Who will you call on in the midst of the storm? All of us have had storms in our lives. Things happen unexpectedly. Why did this happen? Why am I here? I've been faithful to God. I've served God. I've been faithful to God. I've paid my tithes. I've helped other people. But listen, storms will come. Is he even there? Sometimes I ask that, brother. I pray. I said, God, are you sleeping again? Why don't you do something? Why don't you answer me? I go in hospitals, in nursing homes, in veterans hospitals, and I see people that are just, come on, God. Do something. Cindy has a friend back home that she grew up with and went to school with. I was in the hospital visiting another family from one of the churches that I was pastoring while their pastor was sick. I went into the intensive care unit to pray for one of the parishioners. After having been in the room and praying for him, I came out into the waiting room for the intensive care unit. And I'm standing there talking with the family, and somebody touched me on the shoulder. I turned around, and this young girl to me, about 44 years old, she said, you're Mr. Ernest, aren't you? And I said, last time I checked. And she says, I'm Lori. Okay, your name's Lori. You got to give me a little bit more. She said, you don't remember me, do you? And I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't. She says, I'm your daughter's twin. Now, that got my attention. Because my daughter don't have a twin. She says, I'm Lori. Cindy and I went to school together, and we were so much alike that sometimes the teacher would confuse us. And I said, well, what are you doing here, Lori? And she said, my dad had a severe, severe heart attack, and he's not expected to live. And most of us in here have gone to hospitals, and we've seen people that were hooked up to everything they could hook you up to. It just looks terrible. It doesn't look like there's any hope. But let me tell you something. Thank you. But God. And she asked me, come to find out, Cole, he had been in the Marine Corps. He had fought in Vietnam too. And I went in, and his wife was standing there crying over her husband's bedside. There was all the little beeps and all the stuff he was. I mean, there was nothing more they could put on this man. And listen, being honest, it looked hopeless to me. It looked hopeless to me. And so I guess it was out of, this is what you do. So I comforted the wife. I prayed over her husband. Nothing happened. But the Lord told me, you go back. You keep going back. And I would stop in the hospital late at night because I have a pass to get in and get out. And I would go in even late at night and no one there. And the machines are beeping and the thing is breathing for him. And I would walk over by his bedside. And his fingers had started to turn black. And I would pray for him. Walk around the bed. Pray for him. Praying for him. Nothing. Nothing. And I would go home. And I would come back, and I would go in, and I would pray. And the nurses even said, Mr. Ernest, don't you ever rest? And I said, I will, I am. I kept praying for that man, and praying for that man. Go in to visit with his wife and pray for the man. That man is fine today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because, listen, yes. That man is, I mean, he ended up losing some of his fingers, part of his right foot, but he's fine. I saw him in McDonald's the other day. And he said, hey, Brother Jack, let me buy you a coffee. How you doing, brother? He's asking me. You see, just because Jesus is in your boat, he's in your life, it doesn't mean there won't be cancers, heart attacks, Alzheimer's, broken hips, blindness, and a host of other things. As I study, I often come across some very interesting and very applicable quotes or sayings. When fear knocks on the door, send faith to answer it. I want to give you hope and blessed assurance this morning. Know this, storms don't last forever. They have an expiration date. Storms don't last forever. They have an expiration date. And if we can just hang on, the waters are raging. The water's coming in your boat, in your life. If we can just hang on and continue to have faith and to trust the Lord, things are going to happen. Weeping. We know the scripture says this in Psalm 30 and 5. Weeping may last for a night. So the scriptures is telling us, yes. Yes, there will be times when you will weep. There will be times when you'll be uncertain and fearful. There will be times when you will cry and feel as though nothing is left. But my Bible tells me, and so does yours, weeping may last for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. Joy is going to come. It's got to come. It has to come because God said it would. And you know something God can't do? I ask this a lot of places where I go to preach, and I'll say, is there anything God can't do? And we Pentecostals were the worst. Amen. We're the worst. Is there anything God can't do? Oh, no, Brother Jack. Praise God. There's nothing impossible for God. Everything's impossible. All things are possible. Wait a minute. Hold on. There is something God can't do. And when I tell you what it is, you're going to be so glad you might even shout hallelujah. God cannot lie. God cannot lie. The Bible says, is God a man that he would lie? No, he can't. Because if he lies, he declares himself invaluable. He declares, you know, that's it. It's over. We have no hope. But God cannot lie. If he said, joy cometh in the morning, then honey, joy's going to come in your morning. I don't know when your morning is. It may be 6 days from now, but in the morning, joy's going to come in your morning. If we hang on, you see, we have to hold on. We can't quit. Who told you you could quit? Show me that in the Bible. Who told you you could quit? So many times we say, I've had enough. I can't do any more. I'm throwing in the towel. Hey, honey, don't Don't throw in the towel, throw out a net. When the disciples came back from fishing all night, they didn't catch nothing. They're wore out. They're tired. They're coming in, and Jesus is on the shore. He said, hey, guys, hold up. Throw in your net. But, Lord, we've been fishing all night, and the fish aren't this close to the shore anyway. We're fishermen. We know this is what we do. Cast in your net. They cast in their net. They pulled in so many fish. Yes. And, by the way, the fish were so large, they were large fish. Read it. It's what it says. And I think that there's an actual number. I think it was 54. 54 large fish. So large that they almost couldn't bring them in and bust their nets. Weeping may last for a night, but thank God, joy comes in the morning. Back to my friend. So as my friend asked me if he could just be open with me, he said, Jack, can I speak to you as a friend and as a brother in Christ? And I immediately assured him that by all means you can. Oh, did I mention that his sweet little wife was in stage 4 lung cancer? Oh, I didn't say that, did I? No. Here's a man that's blind. Now he can't do nothing. The reason why he and I had time alone, because his wife was at the hospital getting her cancer treatments. Stage 4. He began with, I'm almost embarrassed to say what I'm feeling. Then he basically blurted out this message today. Jack, is he even there? Does he even care that I'm drowning? That's the message. That's what he said to me. Doesn't God even care? I'm drowning. My wife is dying. I can't see anymore. I can't even get around by myself in my own home. And on top of that, my wife's got stage 4 lung cancer. Wow. I was taken back. Here's a man that has been in church most of his life, and to make a statement like that? Now this is a man that is 12 years my senior? You would think that he would be the one advising me. It's so important that we have solid biblical teaching. Jesus said the truth will set you free, not something that felt good or sounded good to someone. He continued to share with me how he felt. His boat was being swept over, and the waves of doubt and unbelief were crashing in. This is why we as believers must know and understand the truth. He asked me if he was being punished for something he may have done wrong or he wasn't good enough. We talked for a couple of hours. I shared scriptures with him, and we had a great time in prayer. And then his wife came back from having had her cancer treatment, and she joined in with us. We cried together, not from sadness or a feeling sorry for ourselves or for his condition, but because he was comforted from God's word. We will all be given special times and opportunities to help someone in our lives. Jesus wants his believers to stand up as he did in situations in life when storms rage and the waves are beginning to fill your boat or someone else's. We need to wake up. We need to stand up and have the faith to say to any and all situations, calm and be still. We sang the song, Greater is He That's in Me. We sang the song this morning. We uttered those words. Don't be afraid to take a spiritual stand. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. A spirit of what? Power, love, and self-discipline, or a sound mind. You see, we get tricked. We get lied to. Satan is the father of lies, the deceiver of the brethren. If we never stand up, we can never accomplish what he wants from us. Home runs are never hit from the bench. You must step up to the plate. Touchdowns are never accomplished by remaining on the sideline. The extra point can never be realized unless the kicker stands up. Do you care if someone may be drowning? Are you drowning? Are you? How about you? Where are you at? Where are you at in your life? I remember so vividly, and my daughter remembers so vividly, when I had throat cancer. The doctor sent me home to die. I couldn't even swallow water. I couldn't. I'm dying. I lost 38 pounds laying on my couch at home dying. I wouldn't even let that girl come home and see me. She cried on the phone, "Dad, let me come home. I want to see you." Honey, no, you don't want to see your dad like this. I'm not saying that was right. I get through the cancer. Then I break my back in four places, a tractor accident. Then I had a heart attack. But you know what? I refuse to give up. Just like Brother Jerry right now at home. He's refusing. Stubborn. Good, a good thing. He's at home. Hopefully you're watching, Jerry. How you doing? He ain't giving up. And listen, look at all that he's been through. But the key is, listen, catch that word. Look at all he's been through. Thank you. Thank you. Look at all he's been through. And look at Laverne. By his side constantly, never giving up. I know she don't get very much sleep. Taking care of her husband. Refusing to give up. That speaks to me. That encourages me. When I start to complaining, I may have a vision of Pastor Jerry and Sister Laverne. Shut up, Jack. You have nothing to say. Amen? Shut up, Jack. You ain't got nothing to say. You know, Jesus said, all of you that are burdened and heavy laden, come to him and he'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Endurance, not quitting. I can tell you this. I'm getting ready to close. Jesus would much rather see you coming down the aisle to the altar filled with tears than you to walk out with the tears still in your eyes. That's why he said, come unto me, all of you that are burdened, heavy laden. I will not maybe. Jesus never, if you find it, educate me. Jesus never used the word maybe. It's not in his vernacular, not in his vocabulary, not in his dictionary. Jesus never used the word maybe. It's not there. He said, I will, you can, you shall. That's the kind of words that Jesus uses. And it's true for you and I today, right now. Yes, he cares. Yes, he cares if you're drowning. And we can be drowning in a myriad of different things. Finances, marriage, health, all kinds of different things. Jobs, not sure of what's going to happen. Jesus knows, and he cares if you're drowning. Jesus cares if you're drowning. A person doesn't drown because they have fallen into the water. They drown because they remain in the water. A person doesn't drown because they have fallen into the water. They drown because they remain in the water. Don't you care if we drown? Listen, I've cried out to the Lord when I was in the hospital with cancer. I threw my Bible down. I yelled at Jesus. I told him he was a liar. I'm being honest. You know, you might think all these preachers, they all got it together. They don't have no problems. Someone's been lying to you. That we just dress up and go from place to place and preach. And we're all doing fine. We don't have no problems. We can get through anything. We're good. In Vietnam, when I was fighting in Vietnam, we wore a helmet. And we had a jacket. It was a vest. It was called a flak, F-L-A-K. Shake your head like you know, brother. A flak jacket. That was to help you to deflect shrapnel from an exploding mortar or a grenade. And sometimes if the person that was shooting at you was far enough away, it would actually deflect a bullet. A lot of guys didn't want to wear them because the plates in them sometimes would pinch your skin, and they were hot, they were uncomfortable, they restricted your movement. But they were designed to save your life. A lot of my fellow Marines would take them and throw them off in the jungle and not wear them. And many of the men that took them off and refused to wear them died. I wore mine. I didn't like it. It was cumbersome. It was hot. It wasn't comfortable. But I wore it. And I'm here today because I chose to put on the armor. Full armor of God. A helmet. A breastplate. So this morning, I'm going to do something. I'm going to give an altar call. Is that all right? Is that okay to do that in this church? I'm going to give an altar call. So if you're here this morning and you feel like the water's rushing in on you, you feel like you may be in a place where you feel like you're going down, be honest. It's not to be ashamed of that you feel like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I really don't. I'm uncertain about my future. I don't know if my job, if I'm going to get another job. And Cindy could testify about that when she quit teaching because she wanted to honor God above the Common Core teaching that they're teaching and shoving down the throats of our children. Cindy had 19 years, a career. She had 19 years as a teacher, and she obeyed God. And she said, God, I wasn't called to teach kids how to take a test. I was called to teach. And that woman right there walked away from a career. And for a while, it was really bad. She would call home for prayer. Dad, I'm praying, I'm believing, I'm trusting, but nothing seems to be moving. Nothing seems to be happening. But then God showed up. And he gave her a job that she loves so much now, she told me I'd almost do it for nothing. I said, honey, don't go that far. But he gave her a dream job. Less stress, less work, actually. Loves her job. Still works with children. She's a librarian. So don't tell me. Don't tell me God can't move. And Cole, don't worry. God's got it all under control. And for all of you, and you and me included in here. So if you want to come, you want to come this morning, please come. Please come. We'll pray with you. We want to pray for you, pray with you. If there's an issue that you have in your life, be honest. That's the hardest thing in church. That's the hardest thing, is for people to be honest. God loves you. He cares more than you will ever know, more than I'll ever know. Yes, God cares if you're drowning. Just as the disciples said to Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Yes, he does. He cares. He knows your situation. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen next week. And I can tell you as a personal testimony that God delivered me from cancer. He delivered me from a broken back with no surgeries at all involved. Delivered me through a heart attack where I should have died. Doctors were absolutely amazed. And I'm still going. And I refuse. I know the current situations in the world, and I refuse to shut up. I refuse. I will not. I will not be silenced. I will not shut up. When I'm in a restaurant and before I eat my food, I always bow my head and pray. And you know what? If that offends you, be offended. If that offends you, just be offended. And I don't say that sarcastically, but I'm going to stand. And as I delivered a message not too long ago on Veterans Day, this guy, this veteran, this Christian, I kneel to pray, but I stand for our national anthem. I kneel to pray, but I also stand. That's who we have to be. You and I have to take a stand. If you're going to be a Christian, be one. If you're going to be a spokesperson for God, be one. And while you're at it, be the best. Be the best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together this morning. I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord, that are here this morning. I thank you, Lord God, that you have our lives in the palm of your hand. I know that we're safe. Doesn't mean we won't go through trials and tribulations, difficulties and disappointments. But Lord, if we stand and we stand firm, we'll make it. I thank you and praise you. Pray, Lord God, you continue to heal Jerry, Brother Jerry. Bless him. Bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you very much for allowing me to be a part of your church, part of your family. Be blessed. And remember, when the water starts coming in, don't worry. It'll be all right. Amen. Thank you.
Hey guys, I'd like to just remind you, if you want to bless Brother Jack, there will be an offering bucket on the back table. Amen? Amen. Thank you guys.
This might hurt, it's not safe, but I know that I've gotta make a change. I don't care if I break, at least I'll be feeling something. 'Cause just okay is not enough.